Happy Mother's Day again to our mothers, our grandmothers, the motherly women in our lives, and many people are blessed to have that lady, right? Maybe in the church you grew up with that always had a piece of gum in her purse. That's what always comes to my mind, right? The neighbor lady. I remember growing up, the Kaufmans. They were like, had a couple McDonald's franchises, and we're going back obviously several years, and I remember them back when like they had giveaways. Remember you get the glasses and stuff at McDonald's, not just the toys like that. And if the kids would come by and spend some time with them, they would often send us away with some of this McDonald's stuff. And wonderful people in our lives, and we're blessed to have our mothers and our grandmothers and their lineage. And this was kind of something I shared at my father's funeral. You know, sometimes the world dumbs down a little bit the definition of mother and father, good mother and father, because you try to relate to God the Father, and if you didn't have a good example of what that was, that wouldn't mean as much. And so you don't want to use terms like God the Father because it triggers something in you, and that's unfortunate because we should lift up our standards to God's, not lower the definition to meet ours. God created mothers to be a very special influence in our life with very special and very important roles, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And as we gather here on this Sunday morning to worship, we're also celebrating a special day. It's Mother's Day, and we're honoring moms or the motherly influence in our lives, and this isn't something created by Hallmark, right? It's not, I mean, it does support, but it's not created by the floral or restaurant industry. Mothers have an important responsibility and a special calling that is ordained by our Creator God, and it is our commandment to honor and respect them. So this morning, we're going to both honor and reflect on the role of mothers in our lives and in our faith. Specifically, we will be reminded about the powerful spiritual legacy a godly mother can leave behind, a legacy that shapes futures and echoes through generations. And this morning's scripture, remember, that Al read earlier in the service was from Paul's second letter to Timothy. Now, Timothy, as you may know, is a young Christian leader. And he was a close companion of the Apostle Paul, and Paul mentored him. And Paul wrote a couple letters to him that are part of our New Testament. And in 2 Timothy, the second letter, chapter 1, verse 5, he acknowledges the foundation of faith instilled in Timothy by his mother and grandmother. And it reads this. It says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well." You see, Timothy's spiritual journey is a testament to the powerful influence of his mother and grandmother. Living in a mixed faith household where his father was a Greek, he likely was not a follower of the Jewish faith. And this presented a unique challenge and some dynamics. It was not uncommon in this climate for the religious beliefs of the father to dominate the household. However, in Timothy's case, it was the devout faith of his maternal figures that shaped his spiritual upbringing. So let me share with you a little more about the significance of the cultural and historical context. In the first century Mediterranean world, Jewish women like Lois and Eunice often found themselves in complicated situations like this. They had to navigate their deep religious convictions within a predominantly Greek-influenced society, which often held different values and practices. Their commitment to maintaining and passing down their faith required both courage and conviction, especially in a setting where mixed marriages kind of diluted religious identity. And I think that still happens today as people marry and one person may be a little more, the biblical term is like being equally yoked, where you're, you know, connected in your faith. But, you know, one isn't, and it's kind of sometimes a slow fade where this kind of comes into play, where someone who once had very strong ideals and faith and commitment to things, even like going to church, can kind of become a little less and a little less influential. The Bible mentions that the faith of Eunice and Lois was sincere, and I love that word. It was a sincere faith, and to me that means authenticity, depth, and they lived their faith rather than just merely by ritual or tradition. This authentic faith environment at home would have provided Timothy with a foundational understanding of God's promises because they lived them out. They believed in them. They trusted in them. And the teachings of the Torah, which are the first five books of the Old Testament, they were of Jewish faith. They called it the Torah, but Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you know, those first five books. And the importance of a personal relationship with God. This is what he was seeing and experiencing every day of his life in his house. And in Acts 16:1, where Timothy is first introduced to us, he's noted for being well spoken of by the brothers of Lystra and Iconium. And these are cities in modern day Turkey, just to kind of place it in your mind. This is an early indication that his character and faith were already impacting others around him. Paul heard from these other people about this young guy, Timothy, and his faith. And this reputation was likely a direct result of the spiritual education example set by his mother and grandmother. Now, the practical side of their faith might have involved teaching Timothy the scriptures from an early age, right? The Bible lessons, the songs, the hymns, the stories, observing the Sabbath and the Jewish festivals, and engaging in prayers, right? Aren't our mothers and grandmothers, right? They bring us to church. I love seeing the grandmothers bring the kids to church. Spiritually, it would have included demonstrating trust in God during difficult times. And this is something you can't always put words to. It's by example, by showing hospitality to others, living out the ethical teachings of their Jewish faith, which emphasize care for the needy and justice and love for one's neighbor. So there's a practical side of their faith, right? The things you do, and the spiritual, why we do them. Today, the story of Eunice and Lois challenges and inspires mothers and spiritual mentors in several ways. It shows that the spiritual nurturing of the young is crucial and can have a far-reaching effect beyond the home. It encourages mothers and grandmothers that their faithful living and teaching can profoundly shape the beliefs and character of the next generation and the generations that follow. It also invites us as a church community to support and empower mothers and these maternal figures, to acknowledge the significant role they play in faith foundation, to remind us of the impact of a godly example of all kinds, which can inspire faith and dedication that goes beyond cultural and social barriers. Now, we still live in a world where one's values and convictions can be influenced and even maybe squelched by the world around us and certainly by the company we keep. The need for courage and conviction remains vital today. The role of a mother in nurturing and shaping the lives of her children is both deep and crucial. A godly mother exemplifies certain key characteristics that profoundly influence the entire family's spiritual and moral compass. These qualities go beyond the visible activities like daily prayer and church participation to the very core of their beings and actions. What do you think, this is audience participation time, what do you think are some characteristics of a godly mother? Someone who is mothering the way that God intends them to be. What are some things they might be? What's that?
Very loving and caring.
Loving, caring.
Patient.
Mm-hmm.
Strong.
Strong.
Kind. Forgiving.
Yeah.
Patience,
yeah. Nurturing. Resilient, right? Women seem to do better than us guys with dealing with some of that stuff. You don't see women, you know, cussing out the ladder when it, yeah, when we were the ones who fell off of it, right? There are characteristics of a godly mother, right? God wired them in a very specific way to do these things that complement, right? Complete the other side of us as men, of fathers. And in today's world where the concept of motherhood can be diverse and multifaceted, these characteristics are still important. Loving, patience, kindness, goodness. They're all still extremely important. And modern mothers face unique challenges. Now they're balancing work and home life. Now a lot of them are single parents or single parenting, even though they might be in a relationship. And navigating technological and cultural shifts that affect their children, right? Protecting their kids from the things that are out there. Again, these influences. Yet the core roles of godly mother in guiding and shaping their children's faith and character, it rises above these challenges. It goes beyond them. It transcends them. In other words, when God created the mother, he knew that there would be days like this. He knew there would be days like this. We are, shall I say, a mature congregation. We do not have a lot of young children in here. And our children are longer young, and we find ourselves without the benefit of having them under our roofs and subject to our nearly constant influence. The influence of a godly mother extends far beyond the confines of childhood and can shape lives across generations. My mother has influenced me even this past week with the stuff that our family has been going through. So I want to take another look at Timothy and consider the long-term impact of the spiritual nurturing he received. His life offers a powerful example of how maternal spiritual guidance can have a far-reaching impact. He was raised in a mixed-faith home, and he could have followed many paths, yet the strong faith of his mother and grandmother anchored him. This is what he believed, not because he was told that's what he believed, not even because he was told that's how he should believe, but they taught him in a way that he made that decision for himself and went on to do great things for the gospel. When the Apostle Paul met Timothy, he saw a young man whose faith was well spoken of by the believers of Lystra and Iconium, and his faith wasn't superficial. It was deeply ingrained, shaped by years of nurturing and influence. And his eventual ministry, which led him across various cultural and geographical boundaries itself, demonstrated the universal values of love and faith and persistence that he learned at home. There's also a generational influence. The values instilled by a godly mother transcends the individual and influences other communities and future generations. Children who grow up in spiritually nurturing environments are more likely to emulate these qualities in their own lives. They go on to be that kind of godly person in the lives of others. It affects how they interact with them and how they lead their own families. Life has certainly changed over the generations, and perhaps more rapidly over the course of the last few, with all the technological advancements and shifts in our culture and our values and the globalization of almost every aspect of our lives. And there are many, many changes, but the calling remains the same. In today's fast-paced world, mothers often juggle all these responsibilities, yet they must still prioritize their role as the spiritual nurturer of their children. They must take the time to teach biblical truths, model prayer, and discuss the importance of faith in everyday decisions. Children learn as much, if not more, from observing their mother's lives as they do from the direct instruction. And when they see their mothers responding with grace under pressure, showing kindness in the face of adversity, or maintaining integrity in all situations, these experiences become powerful lessons in character formation. And as a son, I hold myself accountable, right? You know, what would Jesus do? But what would my mom say? Or Sherry say? Right? Spiritual nurture is about creating a home environment where values like compassion and justice and truth are not only taught but practiced. And we have a responsibility to do that. And this involves discussions about moral dilemmas. These aren't fun conversations to have, but if you don't tell your children or your grandchildren about these things, they'll find out somewhere else. And believe me, you want to be the one to share the truth. We want to encourage them to act justly. We want to help them understand what justice really is. And to take advantage of opportunities to serve others. And when you do this, repeatedly it becomes embedded and becomes a part of their character. Not just their behavior, but their character. This is something that doesn't end at childhood or when they leave our homes or start their own families and their own lives. So why am I sharing this with you? If you aren't a mother or you don't have a young child at home, because you likely know one and they need our support. They need our encouragement. They may even need a little bit of our accountability, okay? Supporting and honoring our mothers involves a comprehensive approach that extends beyond occasional acknowledgments like Happy Mother's Day. But it's an ongoing commitment to love and encourage and support those who have been called to this important task. The Bible provides clear directives and encouragement for honoring parents with specific examples that emphasize the role and values of mothers. If you turn to Exodus 20:12, it shares a commandment that also has a promise. Honor your father and your mother. And it says that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It's not only a foundation to Jewish and Christian ethical behavior, but it's unique among the Ten Commandments as it's attached to a promise, longevity, and well-being in the promised land. In the cultural context of the ancient Near East, where this was recorded, honoring one's parents was synonymous with maintaining societal stability, right? If you didn't take care of your parents, if you didn't honor the eldership, the hierarchy of your family, I mean, that's the first step of society's chaos. And it also ensured personal blessing. This honor involved obedience, right? Respect, care, particularly of one's parents as they became aged. And while cultural norms vary on what respect and obedience look like, we know. We know what respect looks like. We know what obedience looks like. And the principle remains to value and heed the wisdom of our mothers. I think there's a point in our life, probably around 12, where our mothers stop making any intelligent sense to us. And somewhere along their line, something snaps and their mind comes back and our mothers are smart again. I think it's around 30 or whenever we have children, whichever comes first. Am I right? It is true. It works the opposite way. My daughter's brain fell out at 12 and I think it fell back in a couple years ago. Yeah, it's true, right? There's wisdom. There's wisdom in those years. There's wisdom in those stories and love. And as our mothers age, honoring them involves practical aspects of care, ensuring that they're well looked after and their needs are met, which might have included emotional support at times and physical support at times and financial help at times. Another scriptural passage is found in Proverbs 31, and this is the go-to verse for Mother's Day, but I've tried to not make it all about Proverbs 31, but in verse 28 through 31, it celebrates what it calls the virtuous woman. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many women have done excellently, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Proverbs 31 describes a woman of noble character who manages her home, who contributes to her community, and shows strength and dignity. The passage culminates in her family praising her. They recognize her surpassing excellence, not just in her actions, but in her character. It highlights the importance of verbal acknowledgement, right? I see you, I thank you. It's vital for families to express appreciation for their often unseen labor that mothers contribute to the household and to the community. Just as the husband in Proverbs praises his wife openly, families and communities should celebrate the achievements and qualities of mothers publicly, reinforcing their worth and contributions. This should be how we celebrate Mother's Day, truly, by truly honoring our mothers for all the days between. But notice that the Proverbs 31 woman is not only praised by her industriousness, but also for her fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord, which is the source of her wisdom. He is the source of her strength. This suggests that honoring mothers isn't just about recognizing the mother's labor, but also about their spiritual leadership and their spiritual influence. Godly women. When mothers are honored and their roles valued, it positively impacts the broader community. Their guidance and moral influence play a crucial role in shaping society's norms and values. Perhaps one of the greatest declines in society could be attributed to the roles or the waning roles or the misguided roles of parents in the lives of their children and in their communities. And as we close, let us remember and celebrate the impact of Eunice and Lois on Timothy. Think to your mother and grandmother. And if you're a mother, think to your children. Let that remind us of the profound role that mothers play in the world, not just in the families, but in the world, and how faith and commitment are the scaffolding on which future generations build their lives. You're placing those seeds now, and it's not too late. So let's love, let's support, let's encourage, and let's thank the women who share this divine calling. Let's make that our prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for our mothers, our grandmothers. Lord, if we don't have the most beautiful story to tell about our relationships, if they don't have the greatest example being set, Lord, let that not discourage us from the true calling. Heavenly Father, you have clearly laid out what it means to be a godly woman, a godly mother, a godly wife, and why that is so incredibly important for those who are called to it, to fulfill it. But Lord, we have a part in this, and it's more than appreciation, it's support, it's encouragement. So as we look to those in our lives, those in the community, let us seek out ways to support them in all manners so that they may too be godly women, that they may be example of resiliency in the face of circumstances, whatever that may be, so that might be something that their children and their children's children look back on at the strength of their Eunice, of their Lois, of their story. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, as a man, I thank you. As a father, as a husband, I thank you for the complementary goodness you have placed in my life. For Sherry, who is a mother to my children and my grandchildren and her own as well. Lord, thank you for the examples we see around us. Lord, most of all, thank you for the example you set in what it means to be caring and loving and forgiving and kind. Lord, as we celebrate our mothers, we also celebrate you, that all of our strength, all of our justice, all of our judgment of what is good and fair and noble is based on a single truth, and that is that you are God. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son and what that means as well. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.